Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're into the second hour here. Thank you so much for those of you who contacted us. On the subject of baby loss, we were chatting to Adele about the support she received following the passing of Xander at 15 days. A caller says, hi, listening to Adele's story, she is an amazing lady to speak the way she did. And she said, you have to keep the baby's name alive. I had similar experiences to Adele, so I know her pain, but well done to you, Adele. And thinking on you as well, too. Those conversations are helpful, but they can also evoke emotions and feelings. And I understand that as well, too. A caller says, while I fully agree with Tony's comments about the footpath in Portnablar, can you find out why one of the main arteries from Creasler to Carrigart and Downings, that's the R245, is in such bad shape? The tar has melted on the road. There's no footpath, no cycle lanes, and it's very dangerous. And this extremely busy road, will this extremely busy road be upgraded in the near future? Greg probably knows the road well and would agree. Well, I don't know what the story is. It is a horrible road. It's a lovely road. It's a lovely drive, scenic and all that, but it is very narrow. And I don't think anyone in their right mind would walk or cycle on it, to be honest with you. I do know from heading over to Creasler that a section of it has been retarred, but it wasn't necessarily retarred to accommodate a footpath. So I'm not sure what plans are there. On the issue of tourism, sure, it's now government policy to get rid of tourism. Hotels are full of refugees and asylum seekers, and a new law means you'll have to have planning permission to let out holiday rentals in Ireland, according to Airbnb Hosts Ireland. Donegal County Council have yet to grant any permissions for holiday rentals in the county under the new legislation, which comes into force next May. So where are the tourists supposed to stay? I take your point in relation to hotels. I'm not sure how many hotels now are being used for accommodation. I'm not sure that's as big a factor as it once was. But the whole Airbnb conversation is an interesting one. There's some people just don't really like Airbnbs, you know. I think Piers Doherty has an interesting proposal coming up this week, and we might speak to him to try and incentivize some of that stock into the sort of long-term rental market. He mentioned it in passing as he was part of the Friday panel on Friday. So that maybe that's a solution. Maybe that might be a benefit. Enoch Burke, for God's sake, says the listener, the man refused to comply with the orders of the court several times. He broke the law, was given 100 chances to cop on, and went into hiding when he realised his piddle-taking run had run its course. The Bible says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God's. This means Christians should follow and comply with civil society. So some Christian, he actually is, glad to see there's so much respect for the law and courts of our country up here. And I get where you're coming from, but for some people, and you won't change their mind, and I won't, and nor am I trying to change their mind, some people will go back to the root cause, as they would see it, as to why he's in prison, and that was his refusal to use they, them pronouns. But the law of the land is the law of the land, of course. Let me see. I want to mention at a different time today, just to make sure everyone gets a chance to enter. So what we're doing over the course of this week, we are asking you a question, you text in, and then all the correct answers are put into a pile, and then we have one winner on Friday. And what is the prize? Well, it's thanks to our show sponsors at the Silver Tassie Hotel. It's the Indulgent Yonka Delight Package at their Seascape Spa, and it's worth €155. So that's also available for €155 if you want to get someone something special. The luxurious 2.5-hour spa package includes an aromatic steam session and cocoon room, a hot towel foot and back cleanse, a Yonka back massage and hydrating facial, pressure point face and scalp massage, a warm oil foot massage, finished off with snooze room relaxation time and refreshments. So to be in with a chance of winning this prize on Friday, just answer this question. Which of these are not in Ireland traditionally associated with Christmas? Mistletoe, candy canes, although that's more American, and fireworks. So what is the obvious answer there? Mistletoe, candy cane, or fireworks? Which of them is not traditionally associated with Christmas? Text or WhatsApp your answer for free to 086 60 25000. Your answer, A, B, or C, your name, and where you're from. And all the correct answers go into Friday's draw, and one of you will win that €155 Yonka Delight package for the Seascape Spa at the Silver Tassie. So good luck if you're entering, and as I say, the winner will be unveiled to you on Friday. Now, a Donegal County Councillor is calling for individual identification numbers to be assigned to beaches around the county and beyond, I'm sure, to accurately direct emergency services following a traumatic event. That Councillor is Brian Corrie, joins him now. Hi, Brian.
Morning, Greg.
So talk to me as to why this has come to the fore of your attention at the moment.
Well, as most of your listeners would know, I had a traumatic event, nearly drowned back on the 15th of August. And just from that, there was a few things that I had noticed. And afterwards, when starting to get back to work and everything, people were starting to point out other issues and other beaches close by. So I brought the motion to Donegal County Council plenary meeting last Monday. And I just broke it up into two parts. And to explain the motion, when the ambulance arrived at Tremor Beach out in Rossbeg, there was no vehicle access onto the beach. And the ambulance men arrived, they had to grab all their gear and run almost a kilometre to where I was on the beach. And since that, I have found out that there's no vehicle access to Mahara Beach or Dewey Beach as well. And so, and that's just in the last number of weeks. And Donegal has almost 80 beaches between large and medium beaches all over the place. So what I have asked, first part of the motion, is that Donegal County Council look at all beach accesses and make it good for emergency services and install and check safety equipment. And they have given me the commitment, at Michael McGarvey has given me the commitment at the meeting that they would look at all that.
Is it feasible though, Brian, to get vehicle access to every one of those beaches though in reality, and especially no, you know, a surface that you couldn't find yourself having a vehicle caught in? I'm thinking of say let me think of a beach, an example, say Downing's Beach. There is vehicle access to it. At times it's unusable, right? So could that possibly be in put in place and maintained?
Well, that's what we have to get the County Council to look at. The beach that I was on, Tremor, there was previous access to that, but then it was all overgrown and it was let grow wild and the sand shifted and the access was closed off. Same with Mahara. You know, as you said, Greg, it may not be feasible to do it on every beach, but where possible. And that was the first part of the motion that I put in. And the second part was
just on in relation to that, if you don't mind, Brian. Maybe if it was every Blue Flag beach, because, you know, those are the beaches that people sort of are not discouraged necessarily from swimming on. The waters of a certain quality, they might have lifeguards. Blue Flag beaches might be more attainable than every beach, if you know what I mean, because we don't want to necessarily be encouraging to people to swim on beaches that have riptides, etc.
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. And there is so many designated bathing beaches as well. There's, I think, it's 15 Blue Flag, but then there's 22 or 23, so there's a few extra designated bathing areas. But it's just where, as I said, the area that I'm, Rossbeg, there's a caravan park there, there's a surf school, there's a lot of people use it for walking, you know, so there is people going to use these are larger beaches. There's smaller beaches and coves and inlets and everything that nobody's going to go near.
Understood.
But these are larger, like Mahara Caves. You know, there's a lot of people visit Mahara Caves and there's no vehicle access to that. So it's just to look at those, Greg, and, you know, where feasible, to make sure that there is access. And as you said earlier, that they don't cars. Dewey Beach, if there's a road down to Dewey Beach, to a car park, which is still 200 metres away from the beach, but there's, at the top, if people park and abandon their cars and go to the beach, that the ambulance could end up another 300 or 400 metres further back because of vehicle demand.
Okay, Brian, your second point you were going to make, and sorry, I wasn't trying to interrupt you. I just wanted to make sure we teased everything out in the first sort of two-pronged motion you put forward. Now, your second piece.
Yeah, when Marie, my wife Marie, was on the beach, she dialed 999, and the first thing she was asked for was an air code. And she's standing on a beach, and there's no air code for a beach, or she had no way of getting an air code, and she was explaining her location, that was Rossbeg, and then she was explaining that Tramore Beach was in a part of Rossbeg, and she was doing this for 7 minutes in the middle of all this panic. So that's when we checked the phone records afterwards, that's how long she was on 999 trying to explain. And then when she went off, then someone else went on, rang 999, and they ran up to the caravan park, and they got an air code from the caravan park, which directed in. But when she came off, she rang 999 again and asked for the helicopter, the Rescue 118. And she was told that they got a ping from the phone, and that she was all happy that help was on the way. But the helicopter flew overhead, and only for a vigilant neighbour who's overlooking the beach, he rang Malin Head and got them to turn back, got the helicopter to turn back and directed them towards the Tramore Beach, which one we were on. And I'm just thinking afterwards, like, this could have all been avoided if it was a simple thing like a location, like an air code. And that was the second part of my motion, that Donegal County Council create or devise a code, a number for each beach to give to 999, or if something is already there, to start to promote it. And I would ask them to champion it, because we have 1,100 kilometres of coastline in Donegal between mainland and islands and everything, and it's 18% off the coastline. As I said, there's 80 beaches, there's 155 piers and on that as well. So something as simple as just a sign on the beach that said DL40, that's the number of the beach, that people would know that if they, when they ring 999 and the national emergency answers, that they can just say, oh, we're on beach 40 in Donegal.
I think there's, I think it's very worthwhile what you're saying, but there is a system already there that we should be employing. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's called What Three Words, and it is an app that no matter where you are in the world, there are three words, right? So it could be, you know, car, house, hill, and it identifies specifically your location. I do know emergency services in other countries use it. I'm not sure if it's used here, but you know, I'm thinking if you're approaching something from the sky, you're still going to have to identify where beach 40 or section 40 is. I mean, say Ross na Eile, for an example, which end of the beach, you know, would you be accessing? But What Three Words is a very useful app that will pinpoint someone's exact location, whether they're 100 miles out to sea or 100 miles inshore. And that's there. And I do know other emergency services do use that. I'm not sure about the Irish emergency services, but if your wife in the moment, and she did fantastic under massive duress, but if she had had that app and opened it in that instant, these three words would have given her the instant location. So maybe promoting the downloading of that app and double checking if emergency services use that, you know, that's already there, rather than starting from scratch. Because I know where you're coming from and it's important to you, but there's a system there. Maybe promote and use that, and it fixes the problems that you talk of.
Yeah, and I had never heard of What Three Words until Monday.
Okay.
And after, and then I, on social media and everything, then people were talking about it. But I have yet to speak to anybody in the last 2 days that has heard of it or has it on their phone.
Yeah, it's not widely used here, but it is very popular around the world.
Yeah, so, well, that's you know, if it's already there, you know, that's why if Donegal County Council and then join up with all the rest of the councils around the country, let's get that in use. Let's get everybody to download it. Let's do a campaign of advertising for that and let everybody use it. But as a few people have said to me, that when they're like, I'm on the call to you now and you asked me for a phone number, I have trouble even going in to look up for a phone number on my phone, never mind going to an app and to try and define three words for a location. And I have gone. I looked at it a good few times since that What's the Words app, and it, as you say, it's within a 2 meter square radius. Like even in my own house, it gave me about 40-50 different locations.
Yeah.
And the words, but the words are you know, like just one of them was the three words was umbrellas, documenting, and convening. That was the three words. So that was within 2 meters if you gave that location. But downloading the app in the middle of a crisis or anything like that. So if Donegal County Council bring it on and do a great campaign on the rest of. You know, they're going to work with have to work with the Coast Guard or the RNLA or, you know, somebody like that. And, you know, if we do get the access has changed and Donegal County Council champion like a code or an ID for every beach, like it'll be as
no,
a family.
I do understand where you're coming from. I do.
If anybody else has another idea.
Did you speak to the Malinhead Coast Guard who would coordinate a lot of this?
I haven't yet. Yeah, no, okay. We want through Michael McGarvey and the council. Yeah. They are going to look at all that, speak at all those people, and they're going to give an update or a report of progress at the either February or March plenary meeting again. So over the next few months that this is going to be put in place. And as I said, if it helps one person, you know, over the next while, we'll be you know, a very happy family.
Of course.
After going through the experience. And you know, it's just people might say, oh, it's just another app for your phone. But even if it is, like, let's get that awareness out there of that What Three Words, or, as I said, a simple thing like a number
or a tribute to our coast to a beach, you know what I mean? It's not, you know, it's,
but
I know they're attached to physical buildings, but you know, maybe we could adapt the air code system to because that's what we have. And
if you're in a sports ground, if you're in a sports ground, the GA club, they have an air code. If you're, you know, and running track, they have an air school or anything, but it's just places like beaches and places that all our tourists frequent and all our locals frequent as well. So it's just something like that I would like some kind of a code, or as you said, What Three Words. Let's get it out there and get the whole country using that and get the app on the phone and get people educated on it.
Okay. Thanks for that, Councillor Brian Carr. You might want to stay on the line and listen to Edward. Hi, Edward.
Yes, Greg.
You had a collision 3 years ago. What was your experience of the emergency service response?
The story was, Greg, that there was a witness to the collision and she rang the emergency services. And they asked her, did she know the name of the road she's on, blah, 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 and she said no. And the girl that works in emergency services, she says, okay. She says, I'm going to send you a text message now to your phone. And she says, the second you open that message, she says, I know exactly where you are.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. That's great. That's something like that. That was, you know, that was brought forward. That's fantastic.
But it seems
I've
to be
never
in
heard
place.
Of that either, Edward.
Yeah. So, Edward, the woman phoned the emergency services. They then have a system whereby if you don't know where you are, they fire you a text message. And in opening that, instantly you send them your location data then, presumably, Edward?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, listen, thank you for that, Edward. Well, you see, the thing is, Brian, you know, whether or not something is there or not, the fact that we're talking about it is important in and of itself, you know, to make us more aware of that or even to be on our guard. So we'll dig into that a little bit more, Brian. I think what we all want to do is make sure that we don't muddy the waters, but we get somewhere where everyone understands.
Yeah, we don't want to confuse things.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that.
Hopefully I'll be talking to you again in February or March and we'll have something proper in place. Greg, thanks very much.
All right, bye-bye. Councillor Brian Carr there. Kevin Byrne is the CEO of the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association. He's with me now. How are you getting on, Kevin?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. And it's good news. It's a new partnership with three hotels, Jackson's Hotel, Villa Rose Hotel, both in Ballybofey, and Ankerch Hotel in Gweedore. I think they're all part of the Gallon Group as well. And they are going to, they'll now offer people with MND It's part of this Recharge Grant initiative. So explain it. And this all comes back to Charlie Bird and the Charlie Bird Development Fund and all the amazing fundraising that happened by and because of Charlie Bird. Do you want to give us a background to the scheme first, Kevin?
Yeah, that's it. So thanks to the amazing fundraising that Charlie Bird did when he was diagnosed with MND, we did a number of initiatives. And this initiative is what we call our Recharge Grant. And what that allows is €600 a year for individuals with MND and their families to go away within the Republic of Ireland for a break. It's such an important thing when somebody's suffering from such a horrendous disease that they can get away with a family. It's the clues in the title. They can recharge. They can have that time together. Our main aim in the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association is to make sure that people with MND have the best possible standard of living whilst they have the disease. So that's the aim of it.
And why is a partnership with hotels required? You know, rather than saying there's your grant, go and avail of it as you will. So what do the hotels bring to this arrangement, Kevin?
There's a couple of things. One, they usually provide better rates. Also, there's that knowledge around accessibility. Depending what stage of the disease that people with MND have, they may need to have specific accessibility needs. So by partnering with hotels, they're aware of what we need from them and what our individuals and families will need from them, as well as providing those better rates for people to avail of. With the €600,
I presume you know plenty of information prior to arrival and to ensure that if the room matches the needs, because obviously it's a degenerative disease, isn't it? So some people's needs will be different to others. And this is lovely that the Gallen Group are involved. Jackson's Villa Rose on Kirch Hotel, probably mostly to be availed of from people down the country. And is that often what you see in this, Kevin, that people, you know, travel to different parts of the country to avail of these offerings or stay within their own county, or is it a mix?
It's absolutely a mix. It's obviously will be dependent on how much people can travel and those types of things. Again, what stage of the disease they're at. But often people take hotel breaks, often within their own county as well. So because it's still a chance to get away from the usual environment. You know, we all know that a night in a hotel, it can be a great break for anybody. And especially when you as a family are going through something as monumental as an MND diagnosis, it's such an important thing. It gives rest for caregivers often when that person can go away and take that time, space to reconnect with the family. And a chance to recharge, make memories, which is such an
normality,
important thing.
A bit of normality too, exactly. In what can often feel like a discombobulating situation. It's just saying, right, we're going away as a family to a hotel, or as a couple to a hotel. You know, something potentially could be taken for granted, but those moments of normality, I presume, are incredibly valuable.
Extremely valuable, and that's something talking to our community at our conference. One of the things they were saying to us is that they value those moments even more because of the situation they're in. You know, they want to be able to make memories, to have fun and have the best possible standard of living that they can do and connect as a family. So it's such an important thing for us to be able to give this grant. You know, we have a number of different grants that are available to people with MND. If people are interested, I mean, the first thing they should do is register. If you have a diagnosis, is register with the IMNDA through our website, imnda.ie. They'll have a nurse assigned to them. And like I say, there's cost of living grants, there's home care grants, so a number of different things. And then obviously the home the recharge grant, which we're talking
it's
about.
It's only
today.
A part of the range of supports that are available. Around the time of Charlie Bird so bravely speaking so publicly about his condition, there were, you know, we've spoken to a number of families that were also impacted by a Motor Neuron Disease Association. It certainly has become more, you know, visible, I think, and you know, more present in the public's conscience in recent years, hasn't it? Which is which I think is a good thing.
It is, absolutely, and we definitely want to make sure that people are aware of what MND is, aware of the needs of people that are diagnosed with it. Obviously, our biggest aim is to make sure that funding for research and treatments, because that's what we want to see going forward. But in the meantime, we always say that we provide care until there's a cure. So the more awareness, the better. I mean, we're talking 10 years ago, we had between 200 and 250 people registered at one time with us. That's now over 480. And the vast, that's not just awareness, because the vast majority of people that have MND would be registered with us, because it happens automatically from diagnosis. But what that probably indicates is, you know, an ageing population, an increase in population, and hopefully better diagnosis of the disease as well.
Yeah, and earlier as well, which gives them more time to come on to. So you say that people are automatically, are they registered with the Irish Motor Neurone Disease Association?
Once they're at the hospitals, at the clinic, it should be referred to us straight away. If it's not, for whatever reason, just contact us and they'll be registered straight away. Absolutely no problem at all. And then what happens is we have 7 nurses that cover the entire country. They'll be assigned one of those nurses. They'll contact them. And then what they do is they basically are the central person to shine a light through what can be a very dark path, to connect people into what services they have. Our nurses do an absolutely amazing job. The feedback we get on our nurses' care could not be higher. So it's such an important thing for people to link in with us as an organisation.
All right, Kevin, listen, thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it. Kevin Byrne there, CEO of the Irish Motor Neurone Disease Association. And it's just to mark the fact that Jackson's Hotel, the Villa Rose Hotel, both in Ballybuffet, and on Kirch Hotel in Gweedore, they are now in a partnership with the Motor Neurone Disease Association, which allows members to avail of recharge grants for these hotels, so with more favourable rates, and also, but I've spoken previously to people about the hotels in Ballybuffet and how there's an understanding of needs and stuff. So that's just continuing, obviously, the good work that must be important to them. What? Asks a listener. Roads onto beaches, and even every beach will be covered in cars like Rosnella. Brian Carr's obsessed with road building. Does he want roads up every hill too? FFS, they say, whatever that means. Yes, I mean, listen, we don't do stuff that needs maintaining very well. And to put accessible roads into beaches that remain accessible all the time, right? You can't have a situation where you build a road into a beach and it's not accessible to emergency services 365 days of the year, because then what happens is you end up with an ambulance, not that it's parked far away, that's actually stuck. And these are big, heavy vehicles. And I know where Councillor Carr is coming from. I wouldn't go as far as this listener did, but I just don't see how that could be done. But anyway, a caller says it's not just Airbnb, it's all short-term rentals for students, tourists, etc. And few people who rent out holiday houses or to students will rent long-term, given another new law, which means you have to give a lease of a minimum of 6 years and cannot increase the rent or sell your property in that 6 years. It's all about, it's all designed so big multinationals buy up property and they become landlords in Ireland, believes a listener. On Enoch Burke, Greg, you may not be aware of it, but your talk about Enoch Burke seems to be in favour of the so-called justice system rather than a man standing for his constitutional rights. The justice system has been interfered with by people within government, a defunct group of people that have influence to the fact that all their sins are brushed away with no one accountable, namely RTE, the Children's Hospital, bike shed, voting machines, etc. I'm not really speaking to any of it. What I am saying is that the reason he's in prison is because he defied a court order, and you can't do that, and there's no wiggle room, there's no way around it. You can't repeatedly do it. And the court system, the legal system at one point says, look, right, you're not purging your contempt, so we're going to put you out of prison and see what happens. But he still continued to turn up at the school, even though there was a court order saying that he couldn't. And this is where we're at now. Good morning. Can you please ask drivers to please, please, please put their phones away when driving? I meet so many cars and the drivers' heads are down looking at phones instead of looking at the road. One of the biggest causes of road traffic collisions. Not always the serious ones. It could be the bumper-to-bumper or tail-ending, structural damage. It happens every single day of the week. In this county, you can be sure that there's some form of a collision or mishap when driving when people are being distracted by their phones. And it's up there with non-wearing of seatbelts, speeding and driving under the influence. It can't be overstated. That listener says, please put your phone away, concentrate on the road. Nolene Devenny is manager of the Donegal Sexual Abuse and Rape Crisis Centre and is in studio with me. Good morning to you, Nolene. Thank you so much for joining us. Right, so big night last night, wasn't it? There was an exhibition, an art exhibition in the County Museum. Talk to me about that, because it is open to the public today, is it?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so what's that in the first instance?
So this is our fourth year of our art exhibition. And this year the theme was hope. Yesterday began the 16 days of activism on ending violence against women and girls. And this is what we're going to be doing annually to mark that occasion. So yesterday we had our launch between 1 and 3 and it's open to the public today right through until next Friday, the 5th of December. It's a lovely exhibition. The theme is hope, and which is really, really important for all survivors of sexual violence. And yesterday it was a really lovely representation of all the different community organisations and the people within our community who were there in solidarity with survivors of sexual violence to say, we're here with you. And when you cannot see hope, we will hold hope for you. It was really lovely. There are some beautiful pieces within the exhibition. We've done collaborative work with domestic violence services, in particular for empowerment programme. And we've worked with Donegal Women's Collective. Mm. And so the Donegal Women's Collective have created a lovely array of sunflowers. There's about 42 sunflowers. So they've worked with different smaller groups to create these. Some were produced by Anne Garda Síochána, and some with there's a lovely group within the ATU that's a women's group specifically. And it's lovely. And so through them groups, there was different conversations had and around what it means, you know, for hope in life. Mm. And so there's lovely messages that come alongside these flowers. And it's really lovely to see. There's so many variations of sunflowers in it, but it's a real joy to
see.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. It tells its own story. Yeah. And, you know, we hear it in conversations all the time. Post, you know, being a victim of sexual abuse, your recovery, it can be really quite isolating. And the theme of this is that everyone's experience, or correct me if I'm wrong, everyone's experience is different. You know, there's not the same path that everyone treads. But, you know, there is help out there. You know, engaging with others can help you on that journey to become yourself again, or as best part of it that you can.
Absolutely. And that's the hope part, is that, you know, that we can share that message with survivors of sexual violence, that you're not alone in this. You may feel isolated, because when you experience sexual violence, it can be very isolating in terms of how do you share this story with the people that you love. Because when you're hurt and you're trying to tell someone that you love that you were hurt, it hurts them deeply as well.
And but so, also too, you can try and pretend it didn't hurt you quite as much as it did, and that can increase the isolation. And almost invariably, and I can't think of one example that this isn't the case, and even as recently as this week, when you engage with others or seek support or whatever, that seems to be the real catalyst to getting back to yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, it's very hard to do it on your own. I'm not saying it's impossible and everyone's situation is different, but it's very difficult. And of course, too, you know, I think the default position might be for listeners that we're talking about sexual violence towards women, but we know, of course, that many, many men are the victims too of violence, abuse, and rape.
Absolutely, sexual violence knows no boundaries. There's no one immune to it, and it goes across all genders, all sexualities, and all race and creeds. It doesn't specifically target one group. In terms of your males between 18 and 24, around 33% of young males would experience some form of sexual violence. The difference is that males find it quite challenging to come forward and speak to someone. And I suppose women find it challenging to come forward too. And that's the association of sometimes that there is a shame attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the responsibility of our society. And that's why we're trying to get that community connection to reach across all communities. Like, we're a small, like, we have 165,000 people roughly in Donegal, you know. And our goal is that we can reach all communities. You know, we're so such a diverse community now. We're hoping in the future we'll have a cross-community worker, which would be lovely to try and bring the message of support to everyone, that we're there to support them, irregardless of their gender. And I suppose in terms of the theme of the hope and the end in violence against women and girls, that's a conversation for women and men and all genders. We're not just, women are not just responsible for ending violence. And I think that's where the narrative needs to change. Mm. It needs to be not about the victim. And, you know, a lot of research is about the victim and what happens to victims. It should be about perpetrators and why do people perpetrate and how can we fix that? And I suppose another thing then, what we're trying to do is the protection and prevention element. So we're going out into schools and colleges and we're talking about consent. And I know everyone's going consent and they kind of roll their eyes.
Yeah, but the problem is we're having to, because sometimes it feels like we're going backwards.
Yeah.
You know, with everything that's going on, especially with the, and it hasn't been discussed on the show for a while, but, you know, toxic masculinity and what have you. And it's not exclusive to men either, of course, just to be absolutely clear. But sometimes we feel like we're going backwards, especially when you see the amount of reporting there is, peer-on-peer abuse, you know, amongst teenagers, 14, 13, 12, 15, 16, right? Increases in domestic violence calls out, which can have a sexual element to it as well. You know, we're seeing the violence against women in Northern Ireland and across the country. Things that you felt like you only heard about occasionally mm-hmm. are becoming sort of everyday occurrences, it seems. Yeah. You know, sexual assaults, drink spiking.
Yeah. And even if you look at, I suppose, the younger cohort, that's the work about prevention and protection. It's going out and speaking to our young people and making sure that whenever they reach a stage where they have to make a decision, that it's an informed decision, that they have all the information that they need. And that's around the legalities of consent, but also, you know, your image-based sharing images, you know, online. And that's around Coco's Law. And that's all really important, because these are all new things that, you know, whenever you hit 12, 13, 14, you don't necessarily take into consideration the legalities around your behaviour and your actions. And as I said, we have a duty of care as a society to make sure that our young males and females, all genders, are informed.
It's how we deliver that message, that where it actually lands, though.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I wonder in certain areas, how's the... You try, and we have to keep trying, okay? But you try shock and awe, you know, you try getting people at the very early age, and then you sort of say, right, well, you know, we're seeing higher levels of anxiety in younger people, greater mental health problems, a greater incidence of situations like this. And there comes a point where we have to say, right, I think, sort of reset and say, right, how are we messaging this, or how are we getting the point across? Or I think, yeah, anyway, I've views I want to express right here now, but I think sometimes messaging needs to be more targeted. Mm-hmm. Right. And I can understand in this day and age why we it's a very broad message. But then I think sometimes it can be the actual key point of the message can be lost.
Yeah. And I suppose whenever we're doing a collaboration now with ATU and SATU and the DPSU, which is the Protective Services Unit, and we're going out to younger cohorts within the school. So we're targeting 13, 14 year olds.
Yeah.
And we're looking at things that are very relevant to them right now in terms of sexting and porn and access to porn. Mm-hmm. And I suppose we can talk about it, and this is what you're saying, we can talk about it for as long as we want and talk to the children about it. But ultimately, the adults and the government in this country have the responsibility to monitor porn and monitor the access to it, you know.
And I think too, some of the most informed and powerful and constructive stuff I've heard from teenagers themselves. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can support them to be the drivers of some of this as well, because I think the message lands more if it's coming from someone that you... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, brilliant stuff that's happening in transition years and amongst youth councils and stuff. Mm-hmm. Get behind them and see, can we redirect some of this money that the young people themselves can be the voice of this? Because I think it's incredibly... incredibly powerful. Right, so just remind us of this exhibition. It's open to the public now for a period of time. The theme is hope. Yeah. The theme is rooted in hope, healing and light. And the exhibition is designed as a sanctuary of resilience, a shared journey through pain, survival and the possibility of renewal, taking into consideration that everyone's experience can be, you know, it's not one size fits all. So where is it and when's
so
it open?
So the exhibition is in the County Museum, which is in the High Road, and they're open from 9:30 till 4:30, and they're open on Saturdays, I believe, from 1 until 4. And it's on open from today right through until next Friday, the 5th of December. We also done this collaboration with the Donegal Volunteer Centre, and I suppose a big part of our work too is that we have volunteers who go into the SATU, which is the treatment unit, and we provide psychological support there. So we are having an open night for possible volunteers next Tuesday evening, from 6 till 7. So if anyone is interested, if they could call us, our number is 074-91-28211. Or they can email us at info@donegalrapecrisis.ie.
And donegalrapecrisis.ie, and its services are there for men and women to contact.
Absolutely, all genders.
If they've been the victim, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much indeed for that.